I was in behind the walls at a prison, and they'd walk us from here to there. And I was a saved saint, and I was saved as I am today. But I had committed crime before I got saved. I got saved in prison, and I had to do my time, and I had to be there. But thanks be to God, as I was marching in that march, He's let me see that I was honorable enough to be able to march with the saints and march with the elders and understand and know that God's love changes and transforms a person in His image. And you know what? I thank the Lord every day for that. I appreciate God every day for that, because it's what God done. It ain't what I could done. I had no power to do it, but God had power to do it. And I thank the Lord for it. I'll be into my testimony a little more, but I want us right now to look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and read a few verses of scripture here. Mark chapter 10, start with verse 13. Mark chapter 10, start with verse 10. Verse 13. It says, "Have you got enough?" Is what the Lord spoke to me. He's talking about the youth. And as we've been in these youth services throughout night after night, I've been watching the youth. First thing that come to my mind, how they've got enough. How they've got enough. And the Lord spoke to me and asked me, He said, "Have they got enough?" And you know what? The brother preached all over my message, and I thank the Lord He gave us confirmation. And when the brother was preaching a while ago, he's all over the top of what God's really wanting to deal with us about. Have you got enough? Is holiness enough for you? Is the outward appearance enough for you? You've got to have more than that. And we're going to read here and start with verse 13, and it says, "They brought young children to Him," talking about Jesus, "and they should touch Him. And the disciples rebuked them, those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in.'" Here's the next verse. "And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them and blessed them." Verse 17. "And when he was going forth into his way, there came one running and kneeled down to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not steal, kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come and take up thy cross and follow me.'" And follow me. Oh, and he said he was sad at this saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Oh, we see here that no doubt this young man that come running, kneeling to Jesus, had an issue here. No doubt he had a problem here. He saw that the little children was accepted and that he loved them greatly. That he had great love for children, which he does. He has great love for children. And no doubt he said the kingdom of heaven was likened to a child. Childlike faith is a very important thing. We all got to have that childlike faith. We all got to come to a point in our life that we trust Him with everything we possess. My little boys and my little girls at home, I got three, and they trust me. When they say, they ask me to do something, I say, yeah, they know that it's going to be done. They got that much faith in me to realize that and know that kind of trust is there, that they can reach out and say that. And they said, "Daddy said so. I ain't worried about it. We're going to get to do it. We're going to go. We're going to do this or do that." Me and you are going to have to come to the point to realize that that's the way it is. So this young man saw that he really loved him, and he really realized that it was something there for him. But you know what? As he run to kneel to him, he was wanting to see if he was going to match up. He was wanting to see if he had enough to make heaven as he was. If he had enough to make heaven just like he was right there. He didn't have to do no more. He didn't have to do no less. I was just going to see if I'm heaven ready. I'm just going to see if I match up. And you know what? As he run to him and kneeled down, he understood and know that Jesus had power to tell him. Jesus had power to give him solutions and answers. I mean, so many times we realize that and we look for our examinations. A lot of times we think that just because we look, We talk the talk and we walk the walk. We might be ready to go to heaven. But I'm telling you, just like the brother preached a while ago, it's what's inside. It ain't all that's outside. It's on inside. I'm holiness, totally holiness. I really believe in holiness outward and inward. But I'm telling you, without the inward holiness, you're dead if you're doing it outwardly. And you're dead in what you're doing. And he understood and know that as this young man here ran up to him and kneeled down and told him. And then he was no doubt proud of what Jesus was saying, because he knew that he had it made. He knew that he had it made. You know what? A lot of times we look at that and we see that and we think, well, this is qualifications that we make him a deacon. He can do all these things. He's kept all the commandments. Most churches he would be a deacon in. But you know what? Jesus saw from within, and he knew that he was lacking something in his life. He knew that there was something down there that wasn't right. That his true sold out commitment to God wasn't there. He had a form, but he didn't have God. He had a form, but he didn't know what was going on in God. And you know what? That's where our children is today. That's where our young people are today. They come by so many times. They come by, all these ministers come through our church, they preach, and instantly I always take it that the children are saved. I always look at the young people, and I assume that they're saved. And I've had preachers look at me and say, he's not made a commitment yet. He's not been born again yet. You automatically assume, because he is a preacher's son or a preacher's daughter, that they're where they need to be. That's where the misconception of coming to church, and making you think just coming to church is enough. It takes more than just coming to church. It takes more than just dressing the dress and looking the look. It takes more than just being a mom or daddy, being your pastor. It takes more than that. It takes knowing that you know within your heart that you are right with God, and that you're heaven ready. Have you got enough to make it? You understand and know it takes a lot to make it to heaven. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. It was a great expense. It was a great pay. He paid a great price to cover your sins. He paid it dearly for me and you. Do you understand and know? A lot of people wouldn't even really consider dying for somebody. Used to, I was in a situation that I would have died for whoever was with me. And he would have died for me. That was the bond that we had together. That was the game that we was running with. That's the way we was treating one another. Now you can't find that no more. You can't find that no more nowhere. And even in Christian people anymore. And when they see you down, a lot of times they kick you on down. And that's where the children get it a lot of times. And it comes into their life that, you know what, all I have to do is go to church and go home. You know what, when I first married my wife, the only wife I've ever had, thank the Lord, the only one I'm looking for. I told her on the phone today, I said, I can't wait to see you. Can't wait to see you. She's the love of my life. I'm telling you, my little children are great to me. But you know what, when I first met her, and when I first got out of prison, I met her. And she wasn't saying, we didn't date, we didn't touch, we didn't hold hands. You know, that's a forbidden zone for me. I couldn't do that. I've been in the flesh enough. I knew that I couldn't do that. And God was telling me I couldn't do that. And he said, she's the one. Well, this girl wasn't even saved. And when she did go to church, she went to a Methodist church. It wasn't even a church that even taught any kind of standards or morals. It didn't even teach nothing about just come to church and go home. That's all they really dealt with. God said, she's the one. You understand and know? I couldn't understand that, but boy, the more I pray, the more God realized and brought it to my realization, he's going to make a change. He's going to do the difference for her. He's going to be the difference. You know what? That's the way she was taught. When we started getting, after we got married, we started going to church. She said, why we got to go so much church? Why we got to do this so much? You understand? That was still the way she was trained from this age up, that you just go and be good and that's all. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't do none of that. It'll be all right. But it takes more than that. You know what? When she got in them altars and she started seeking God as we went, and she'd see these little ladies with these buns on their head, and when the Holy Ghost would hit, bobby pins would fly. She knew that she wanted some of that. She said, I want what Sister So-and-so's got. I want that right there. I said, well, you can get it. You just get in the altars, you can get it. You understand and know we've lost our desire to see people get in the altar and get that. We've lost our desire for that. A 5-minute prayer water anymore. It's sufficient for all. No, it ain't. I'm telling you, it ain't sufficient for all. We'll take a 30-minute prayer quest and we'll pray 5 minutes. You understand and know we're missing God? We're missing God through it all because why? We've got not enough of sticking power anymore. We've got not enough to keep us anymore. And you know what? This young man looked at him. He said, I've done that for my youth up. That is nothing. That's outsideward. I can keep all them right there. I've done it for my youth up. There's nothing to it. And then Jesus looked up on his heart. He said, you lacketh one thing. You lacketh one thing. This is the brother's preaching about the stone. When you move that stone, you lacketh one thing. And you know what? That's where we're at today. We're lacketh one thing. We're lacking the zeal to get in for God. We're lacking the commitment that God desires out of me and you, that we love him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. You understand we're lacking all that right there because why? It ain't been to the point that we're seeing it from example. Our children ain't seeing mom and daddy do it, so why should they do it? All they know is what mom and daddy does. Do you understand? I got a 9-year-old little boy, and when I go to my study in my house and study the Word of God, the first thing he does is grab his Bible, and he runs to his study. And when he hears daddy praying, he starts praying. And you understand and know that's by example that he's watching and he's seeing. It's a great burden upon me and you as mom and daddies and grandpas and grandmas to lead them in the right direction. Hey, the Apostle Paul made a quote. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Do you understand? That's what we need to get back to. Young people, we've let you down in that way, but I'm telling you, you for yourself has got to get in here, whether mom and daddy do, whether mom and daddy don't. You've got to get in here and seek God for yourself, and you've got to find a place in your heart and in your life that enough is enough. You know what the definition of enough is? As much as necessary. As much as necessary. The amount needed. It says fully, sufficiently. That's enough. Have you got enough to face it when it comes to you? Have you got enough to realize and know when the adversary is coming your way, when he sees you where you're at, that you've got enough of sticking power to know and say no, just like the brother said, I won't be back here, Lord. You just give me the power to get out of here. I won't come back. Have you got that kind of sticking power tonight to say, Lord, I can do it. I can do it if you'll just give me the strength to get to that altar to help you to understand and know that God will give you the power to overcome if you want to overcome. You know what? I wasn't raised and I didn't have the fortunes to understand and have a background of holiness in my life. I'm a first generation holiness person. God brought me into holiness in prison, believe it or not. God brought it to me right to the Pentecostal. I had no Pentecostal people in my background of my whole life. You understand and know God brought it all to me just because he loved me, just because he loves you. He's going to do the same for you. But me and you have got to come to realize that just because you've got a heritage behind you of holiness won't get you in. It ain't because of your mom and daddy that you can stay in this church. You've got to make a commitment to God. You've got to come to the place in God say, God, do I lack anything? Is it anything in my life, God, that I'm missing in you? If it is, God will know it, and God can help you with it. You know, when I got up to be a teenager, my dad had got in church. My dad was kind of a drunk, and he didn't get real violent with mom and him, but they had arguments. And I was raised in a good home outside of that. And my dad made a commitment up on his bed, up on a couch when the mumps fell up on him. The mumps got on me, and then I give him the mumps, and it fell on him. He liked to die with them. He made a commitment and got saved right there in front of me on a couch. And my dad hadn't moved in 4 days. My dad hadn't moved nowhere. They prayed for him within 30 minutes. He was up shaving. He had a whole carton of Pall Malls and some more cigarettes laying on top of them. He never touched them. I never heard my dad say another curse word. I never saw my dad raise his hand to my mother again. I'm telling you, God's saving power can change things. But I was at the age already that I done had it in my heart. It was sold in my heart to do wrong. It was sold in my heart to do wrong. You know why? Because I was looking towards Solomon. I saw it all my life. I've been in it most of my young childhood. That solemn seed had got in there and it didn't want to come out. You understand and know I went to church just like you do. I was your age. No doubt. How many 13-year-old we got in here? 13-year-old. Raise your hands. I know it's some 13-year-olds in here. Sixth graders. How many sixth graders how we got in here. In the sixth grade. No sixth graders? Fifth graders. Mercy. Y'all all college kids. Amen. Seventh graders. Fourth graders. Hey. But it's amazing. In the sixth grade, temptation come to me. I had been raised at that time about 3 year, 4 year in church. It was just a Methodist church. They preached a little bit, but it wasn't nothing like holiness. They didn't hold a standard. But in the sixth grade, it came to me, this right here, and I didn't have enough to stay and to resist. As it came to me as I was going to school at the sixth grade, when they was coming to me, they presented marijuana to me in my little holler there before I get to my school, and I was riding my bicycle to school. We just hillbillies up on the mountain, they let you ride your bicycle to school. You can walk to school, you can ride the bus, whichever suited you, whatever your parents would allow you to do. So I got to ride my bike to school, and in the sixth grade, I'd meet some more boys in the holler, and they some a little older, and I had a good friend is in the same grade as me, and he smoked a little pot, so I decided I'd try it. You know how it is, it wears you down just like it is Samson. Before you know it, they'll have you doing what you know is wrong to do. And it come to me, and when it hit me head on like it did, I ain't held of it, didn't like it, didn't interest me at all, anything about it. But you understand, no alcoholic, in the first supper becomes an alcoholic. It takes another time and another time and another time. And of course, that's what wore me down. I kept them eating them. Before you know it, they was giving them to me. And before you know it, I was running them down trying to find them. And I was wanting more and more and more. At sixth grade of school, that's what I was trying to do. And that's what I ended up doing. My life become a shambles. My life become everything. But I still honored my mom and daddy. I still went to church on Sunday with them, just like the brother said. I still done everything just right. I didn't back talk my mama. I didn't back talk my daddy. You understand? I had it undercover. I had it hid. This is the young man here that run to Jesus, had a lot of things hid in his life. He didn't love him like he said he did. He didn't want heaven just like he said he did, because he lacked something in his life. You understand? It don't matter about your outward appearance. I believe in outward appearance, but I'm looking to you for your heart right now. I'm looking to you for your commitment. We've been seeing a lot of altar moving going on. We've been seeing a lot of people praying to altars, but we're not seeing much examples with it. We're not seeing no evidence of the power behind it. I'm wondering if it's something lacking when you're coming down here. I'm wondering if it's something lacking that you're not giving all to God. You're not doing all that you can for God. You may be just coming down because everybody else is. You may be just coming down because your daddy's a preaching. But I'm telling you, you better know and understand that God knows all things, and he looks upon the heart, and he can see what is going on in our life. He understands and knows that it is that way. And if you're lacking something, he will reveal it. He will reveal it. Oh, as I got a little older in life, it started getting worse for me. When that time I got to high school, I was ready to drop out. And I taught my mom and daddy to let me quit where I could go to work. And as I went to work, and I started doing, I was working in a nursery. I was working as piece work, contract work, however you want to call it, making good money as a young man. But I couldn't support my habit doing that. So I met up with another gang, and this other gang here, they learned me how to get by a quicker way and more money by stealing and by doing things of that sort. And as I got deeper into sin, before you knew it, I was so far out that I couldn't get back. I was so far out that I didn't know how to get back. I didn't know what was going to take place. Didn't think I was worthy to ever get back, because God once had dealt with my heart when I was young, and he once told me that I could be saved, but I didn't accept. I didn't take it. Never went to the altar. I ran from it because I had that seed in me. I'm so worried that our kids are looking too far past the no zone, and they're getting that seed in them that they want to go out there and do wrong and live their life like that and live their life up. But I'm telling you, you can sow your oats if you want to, but when it comes back to time to pay for it, you will have to pay dearly. What you sow is what you reap. Do you understand and know that just because I got in prison and I got saved, I didn't get deliverance? Oh, I didn't get deliverance. I had to do 6 years. Almost 6 years, like in a few months, in prison. I had to do saved, sanctified, and for the Holy Ghost. 2 years of that, I would never saw daylight. I never walked on grass and I never felt air hit my face for 2 solid years because I was in a place that they didn't offer that. You had to stay like that. But I'm telling you, my God is a gracious God. My God is a good God. And my God will send deliverance. If you want it, it's enough there for you. If you want it and desire it, God will give it to you. But you know what? You've got to desire it more than anything else. And you know what? I got locked up. My mom and dad didn't understand and know how bad I was or how deep I was. They know I was in bad shape. I just didn't know how deep I had got. I didn't know the trips to Chicago. They didn't know stuff that I had done and how deep I'd really got. All they know that Charles was in trouble. Oh, they prayed and they done the best they could. My mama dressed modest and she lived a life. But you understand and know they didn't know no more than they know. And they prayed as hard as they did with what they knew. And you understand that little, that prayer and that faith that they had saved this wretched soul right here from a devil's hell. It saved me from going to a place I didn't want to go. Because why? When the adversary come to me, I had not enough to last. I didn't have no sticking power. I didn't have nothing to resist with. That's why it's so important, young people, to realize and know that you can get enough of God to overcome. You can get enough of God to have victory in your life. That when this temptation comes, and it will come, you're not above it. You're not above it. It's going to come to all of us. A temptation comes every day. But I'm telling you, you don't have to have the scars. You don't have to do this to have a testimony. You can live a life to God from a youth up and never have to know and feel what that really is. And never have to know and understand what's really going to take place. But I thank God that he allowed me to come out from amongst it anyway. He made a way escape for me. I've heard that quoted so many times here. When it's quoted, oh, how I really realize that there is a door out. There is a way out. People looked at me and said there was no hope. People looked at me and said there wasn't no chance of him ever getting any better than what he is. But God knew there's an escape door. God knew there was a way out. And he gave me that way out through the salvation power of Jesus Christ. He made it right. And you understand and know the night I got caught, oh, I was messed up. 2 weeks prior to when I got caught, I had a car wreck, several car wrecks in my life, but I had this car wreck with this young girl. I was 21 year old. She was 21 year old. And I didn't understand and know what was going on. I was just living life. I just didn't care. And you know what? We was at a hotel and I called my mom. Hadn't saw her in 3 days, but still, she didn't know if I was dead or alive. Called her, and I talked to her. I told her, I said, Mom, I'm out here at Montego. I said, I'm all right. I was just wanting to report in, let you know I was all right. She said, well, Charles, what are you doing? I said, well, I said, Angie's with me. And I said, we're just out here. She said, well, I'm fixing enchiladas. Would you like to come? I said, well, let me see. I asked Angie. She said, well, yeah. Yeah, she loved my mom and them. And she said, we'll go. I said, okay. I said, we'll be there. We got our showers taken, got in her little Ford Escort, and we started heading out. Not knowing what was going to take place. Not knowing nothing about it. And 10 minutes later, I didn't understand and know that she was going to be facing eternity. I didn't know and understand that the wreck was coming. I didn't know what, it was nobody else involving me and her. But I ran outside of the edge of the road and it had been paving and it was thick. And when I hit it, it started rolling. It threw me out one window, throwed her out another window. I landed about 30 feet from the car. She was under the car, half over and half over out. She was talking to me, asking me, help her get out, do everything. I tore my hands off trying to raise the car up. No, I didn't know what was going on. I was kind of fuzzed out anyway because of what took place. By that time, people started pulling up. Police pulled up. The ambulance pulled up. Didn't know and understand that when we pulled her out, that would be the last words I ever heard her speak here on earth. It'd be the last words that I ever heard her ever say anything about. 21-year-old girl died and went to hell because of what me and her was sowing to the flesh and doing what we was doing. Do you understand and know? 2 weeks prior to this, she had been going to a church up on the mountain every Sunday and then coming and seeing me afterward. I didn't know she had run out of that church twice, crying and screaming, and wouldn't go to the altar. I didn't know God was dealing with her heart. Didn't know what was going on. But I knew when judgment hit. I knew when it hit. I didn't find it out till 3 years later I was in prison that she was even under conviction. didn't know it. You know what a danger it is for you to walk out of this house when God's dealing with you hard. Do you know what a danger it is, young people, to walk out and think, well, I'm just too young. That ain't, that's just mom and daddy trying to push me into that. When God's a pricking your heart telling you, you need to get in these altars. 21-year-old. I was a 21-year-old. Didn't know what was going on. They took me out to the ambulance and I was tore up, scratched up. They poked my arm from one end to the other trying to get blood out. Couldn't get blood. Couldn't get blood. I didn't know what they want blood for. They was going to do a test to see what I had in my system. Well, I blowed their charts plumb off the system. I hadn't been without drugs in years. Years. Not proud of it. Just telling you I was deep. Not proud of what's going on. Just telling you that Satan took me further than I wanted to go. When he wrapped that around my neck, I was a leash, and he was the taskmaster, and he was dragging and pulling me. I'd swear off of stuff. I'd swear that I would never do it again, and before I turn around, I'd catch myself doing it. Do you understand and know that that taskmaster will make you pay more than you ever want to pay? He'll make you stay longer than you ever want to stay, and he'll cost you more than you've ever dreamed of. And I didn't understand and know that, but after that, we buried her, and then 2 weeks later, I didn't realize and know. 2 weeks later, I never went back home just to take a shower. I never took another nap or sleep for 2 weeks. I'd take uppers, I'd take speed, I'd take cocaine, and I'd stay awake, and then I'd take them to come down. I was like a roller coaster. 2 weeks later, caught myself in Davidson County, Nashville, Tennessee. I was down there to steal a car, no doubt. I'd done been arrested in a chop shop. We had 23 of us arrested. We had a international thing going, and I was down there doing some stuff. Now I got in a vehicle at 6 o'clock in the morning. Didn't want to get in that vehicle. Got in that vehicle at 6 o'clock in the morning. Took out first person I met when I pulled out of that apartment duplex was the police. God was on my trail. God was on my trail. Didn't know that morning that mama was throwing up. Didn't know that 12 o'clock that night that daddy told God, said, whatever it takes, stop him in his tracks. I didn't know none of that. I didn't know that the Lord was on my trail. Didn't understand and know what was taking place. But boy, did I ever find out. Oh, when they started chasing us, they run me for 45 minutes. I had 23 police officers and 18 motorcycle cops. When they finally stopped, and I wrecked, and they wrecked, and I stopped, they shot me in the leg as I was running. And when I flipped and shot me in the leg, they took me on to the hospital, 1988, and I never got back out of the penitentiary. I serve my time. But you know and understand, after they released me from that hospital, when I tried to whoop that doctor every time he trying to run that rag through my leg, because I had a hole through my leg by the size of my finger, I was trying to just do whatever I do. I had meanness in me, folks. I had sold to the flesh. And I was a violent person. But not violent towards people as much, just didn't care no more. Didn't understand no more. Told God. When she killed Angie, I looked at my preacher uncle. He come up trying to tell me good things about what God has inspired my life. And I looked at him. I said, I don't want to hear nothing about your God. I said, and boy, I backed him up. I backed him up. I said some horrible things. I didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost, but boy, I said some horrible things. I said, do you tell me how your God can take a sweet, innocent girl like that right there, inspire somebody like this right here? And I mean it. I mean it. It wasn't nothing good about me. She was sweet. It wasn't nothing good about me. But I didn't understand and know that God was giving her a change. Didn't know all that at the time. Boy, you're talking about when I got saved and God started dealing with my wretched heart. What repentance I had to come to. What things I had to come to in my life to realize. Say, God, I'm sorry for ever doubting you. I'm sorry for ever saying anything against you. Because you are worthy, God. And you alone are worthy. And you believe it tonight. He is worthy in mine in your life. He is worthy to worship. He is worthy to praise. Whether you think it's going your way or whether you think it ain't. He is worthy. But they stuck me in a prison in 3 days in a dungeon underneath the penitentiary there where they took me to, 5 stories high. They took me into the bottom down there, had a crutches and a hole in my leg from the law. And I walked up through there and everybody was laying on plastic mats. They had an overcrowding situation. And when I walked up through there, somebody hollered from the left side here and he said, hey. And I thought, well, here we go. Here we go. And he hollered again. He said, you want a bunk? I said, yeah. He gave me the top bunk. Didn't know and understand nothing. I was just bumfuzzled. I hadn't made a commitment to God. I was running from conviction, and I was just tore up. And looking around, I was about 150 pounds lighter. I was ready. I was a caught gun. I was ready. And I was around people that I wasn't used to being around, and I didn't know what I was going to do. Coming off of drugs, and I'm in lots of drugs, half ounce of cocaine in 2 days. I was on drugs heavy. But I'm telling you, my God knew exactly what this boy needed. He knew exactly how to handle me. And I thank the Lord that he handled me in his way, and I didn't resist. He started taking me through dreams from my childhood up and let me know when I was wrecking them cars that I thought it was luck. It was all his grace and mercy. Every time I'd walk away from something that happened in my life, he was letting me know that he was right there on scene. And you understand, in no time I got to that third day, oh, I was tore up. And I called my mom. I said, "Get me a bond. Get me out of here now." She said, "Charles, they got you with threat on society, and they're not going to let you out. They said, you're a threat to society." I said, "What?" They said, "You know, we're bringing you some stuff to take shower with. And we're gonna bring you this and this." And she said, "I'm going to bring you a Bible." I said, "If you bring me a Bible, I'll rip it from one end to the other. And I'll throw it in the garbage." I said, "Get me out." She couldn't do nothing. Mama loved me. She couldn't do nothing. Daddy knew that I needed to stay. Mama's love goes far, don't it? And I put pressure on my mom, and she couldn't do nothing. When I got my little sack after my attorney come and told me they's off me 36 years, I got my little sack and they escorted me back and the guard had to carry it. I was on crutches. I got sat down on that bunk, started going through that sack. Halfway through the middle of the sack, there was a Bible. There sat that Bible and there was the rest of my stuff underneath and I couldn't do nothing with it. So I had to start unloading it. So I decided I was going to pick up the Bible and set it to the side. When I picked up that Bible, I looked at it for a second, and then I decided I was going to put it over to the side. I'm going to take me a shower. Hadn't had a shower in 3 days. I was going to just take me a shower. When I set it to the side, I come back, it's still in my hand. I looked at that, and I said, "No." About that time, my heart started melting. I said, "No." I set it to the side one more time. When I come back that time, he said, "This night, you will choose." I knew who was talking. I knew what was going on. So I took and I just opened it up. And as I opened it up, Mama had wrote in her own handwriting somewhere to look in the Bible. I didn't know the Old Testament, New Testament. I didn't know nothing about it. I looked up the page number and flipped over to Romans chapter 10. Started trying to read Romans chapter 10 there. And I couldn't even get no words spoken because I had been out of school for 5 years. I smoked dope so long, I couldn't even read no more. And thanks be to God, I took that Bible and I put it to my chest. I said, "God, if you can do something with me, here I am." And that's how I prayed. Didn't know how to pray, Brother Watson. Didn't know what to say. Wasn't never taught. The ball had been dropped in my court. Do you understand? And no, we have lost generations after generations. People don't know how to pray. People don't know how to get by. People, the children anymore, don't know how to seek out God and find God. We thinking and we assuming because they went to church all their life that they know, but they don't really know. And when I started praying, he lifted the burden of sin off my life. He changed me instantaneously. Like this brother's talking about here, he changed me instantaneously. He didn't more save me. He sanctified this old boy. Didn't know about the Holy Ghost, so I didn't know even what to ask for. But he took cursing, he took bitterness, hatred, envy. He took it all away, and it's never came back to this day. Thanks be to God, because of what he done, I live and I move and I have my being today because of what he is and what he's done for me. And I thank the Lord that if me and you will run to Jesus and we'll kneel down and we say, "Lord, what do we lacketh? Well, what is in my life that may be hindering me, Lord?" I know that he'll reveal it to us and he'll help me and you to come back to realize that we can have victory. We can have life and have it more abundantly. After I got saved, I didn't realize and know. 10 minutes after I got saved, I went and took a shower. Come back. My leg had turned gangrene. And the bandaging on the outside was green. It hadn't been touched in 3 days. They had packing from inside all the way through it. Didn't know all that. I stopped by the guard thing. I had one guard watching 300 of us in a gymnasium. Stopped by there, told that guard, I said, "Guard, sir, I've got a problem here. I said, I've been shot. I said, I don't know what to do. I said, it's green." He said, "You need to go to the nursing station." I said, "Okay." He said, "Now." And I walked up through there. She looked at it. She said, "Well, seeing." She wrapped off the outer bandage. When she saw it, it was green, and it was turning green around it, and it was real red. She said, "I'm not qualified to touch this." She said, "You'll have to go to the hospital." I said, "That'll be fine." I said, "When?" She said, "Right now." She said, "Right now." I hadn't been saved 30 minutes. I said, "Okay." So I went back, and they put chains around me, handcuffs, and shackled my feet. And here we went to the medical center over there. Got there, and when we got set down in the hospital room there, here come that doctor. He went by, and he looked, and then kept going. That's the same doctor I tried to beat that morning that he shot me. And he come back by, and he took another tape, and he said, "Huh." And about that time, it had to be my time, so they rolled me up there. He says, "Do I know you?" He said, "Was you in here the other morning?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What's happened to you?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "What's going on with you?" I said, I'm not the same person that I once was." He looked at me. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I've got saved. I wasn't even saved an hour that I was having to testify to the truth of the love of God, to what God had done and what God was going to do." He looked at me, he said, "I know something's different with you. You ain't trying to do all this." He said, "Is this leg been, what's wrong?" I said, "Well, it ain't been food." He said, "It ain't been touched." I said, "No." He said, "Oh." He took it off. He said, "We in trouble." He said, "You got gangrene." He said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." But he said, "We're going to have to take all the packing back out and repack it." And he said, "I'm going to have to give you some penicillin, blah this and blah that." Trying to make it a little shorter here. But anyway, he done that. And when he started touching it, he said, "Now, you're all right with this, ain't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I can't give you no painkiller, nothing, because you're locked up." I said, he said, "Now, you ain't going to try to do nothing when I touch your leg." I said, "No." I said, "I'm fine." I said, "Just go ahead. I'm all right." He said, "This is going to be painful." He said, "It'll probably feel like you just got shot again." I said, "Just go ahead. It'll be all right." Oh, he started pulling that old stuff, Brother Watson. I didn't feel a thing. He looked down at me. He said, "You all right?" I said, "I'm fine." I said, "I'm fine." He pulled all of it out. It was gross. It looked terrible. He said, "Now I'm going to have to repack it." But he said, "Before I do that, I got to pull this stuff through and through and try to get all that gangrene out that I can get out. All that debris and all that stuff is in there and it's built up." I said, "Okay." He said, "It's going to hurt." I said, "It'll be all right." Oh, God sustained me. God helped me. God gave me a testimony to leave with him. And I didn't know and understand. After he done that, he said, "We're going to have to change this packing every day. We're going to have to do this and this." He said, "You're going to come back and see me every day." I said, "Do what?" He said, "Yeah, they'll bring you back every day. I'm going to be your doctor." Didn't know and understand. Brother Steve had no idea. After his bout over with, I found out that he was one of the prestigious doctors in Nashville. Owned his own office and everything. He took time for this boy. He helped me. My leg grew back together whole from in and out. That all you can find now is a little imprint here and maybe a little, but it ain't sunk in nowhere. He said, "I'm hoping and praying we can save your leg." At the end of it, he said, "Hey, I don't believe you'll ever have a lick of problem with your leg." I said, "No, my God has saw me fit to see me through this and to help me." And you believe it or not, he will do the same for every one of us. It ain't nothing too great for him. You understand that? They still hope in the cross. Do you believe that? They still redemption power to redeem us from the curses that's up on our life. You understand? That curse fell to me through my dad and through all my uncles. Curses fell down on me. I was to be like them. I got uncles now. We just buried one about 3 years ago, died of cirrhosis of the liver. Got one that's going to die any day, cirrhosis of the liver. Do you understand the curses that was up on this old boy's life? Oh, but you understand a gracious God that said he nailed it to the cross. He would nail it to the tree. And you understand and know that curse no longer falls upon me or my loved ones or my family or my son. Right now my son can be what he needs to be. It's a holiness preacher or whatever that God sees fit to bring to him. Because of why Jesus nailed it to the cross. I accepted it, and I believe it with all my heart, and I thank God that he can see us through, don't you? I thank God that he can see us through. God works miracles for us, but you know what? It's amazing to this right here. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. Examine yourselves. You know what? I saw what the brother was talking about. I've saw him speak in tongues. I've saw him in our services in prison go out like a snake on their bellies. I saw it. I saw one come up and mock us right in prison. Do you understand? I was behind the walls in, up here in Atlanta Penitentiary, federal penitentiary, where Al Capone was at. Told God, made commitment to God way before he called me to preach. Whatever you let me do, God, for you, I'll do. Didn't understand and know what it was going to be. Didn't know where it was going to take me to. Didn't know what was going to be of it. But I was in Atlanta Penitentiary, and I was with a church group, and we was having dynamic services. God was reaching. I mean, God was touching people. They said we was going to do a track program, hand out tracts. I said, where are we going to do this at? Out on the weight yard. I said, what? Out on the weight yard. Brother Joey, these old boys are coming off that weight yard and off that yard out there is nothing to play with. They got life sentences. They got nothing to lose. They got tattoos from one end to the other. And then you got the ones that's coming with the little hats on their head and the buttons up to here, Muslims. And you had to sit there and give them a track. So I said, okay. I went to my room. I got on my knees. I said, God, I said, I've got 3 months. I'm getting out. 3 months. I said, but you said, and I told you I'd do whatever. I said, I'm going out there. And I said, I'm going to hand these tracks out. And for the glory of God, I'm going to do it for your purpose. 3 months to go. Haven't been seen my mom and dad. Ain't been able to hug them in over six years. Lost my grandpa. Lost all that during that time. I got to have to hand them tracks out. Here come them boys up through our arms bigger than my legs. Here they come up through and they just didn't care for nothing. And I started reaching out. Bless you. And they wadded up and throw it down. I'd hand another track to one of them. One of them goes, spit right by your feet. I said, oh, mercy, God. We got an hour of this. And I'm going to endure it, God. They come up through her. I said, Jesus loves you. More they come, the bolder I was getting, son. God swelled up in me, bigger than most of them, I think. And when they come up through there, I had a smile. My chin was raised high, and I was happy to be there. And the time that thing was over with, I felt like God was well pleased in what we was doing for him up on that wreck yard, trying to save a soul. And then you know what? A month later, here come one knocking on my door. He said, hey, are you the one? I said, who? He said, are you the one that gave me that track? I said, yeah. He said, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. I had a one man, we was in the cell. He walked in, he covered most of the cell. He a big old fella. He sat down. He said, you believe this track is true? I said, with all my heart. I said, with all my heart, I believe it's true. He says, so you think that I could be saved? I said, with all my heart, I do. I said, you ain't never blasphemed the Holy Ghost, have you? He said, what's the Holy Ghost? I said, you're all right. I said, you're all right. I said, don't worry about that. He says, what do you think I need to do? I said, you need to get down on your knees and confess to the Lord that you need a Savior for your soul. He says, what's that going to do? I said, that's going to make you feel like a new person. Boy, he started tears running up. Oh, he had tattoos down his neck, around his back, all the way down his arm. He was a mean feller. And I looked at him, and he said, well, what about the brotherhood? And I said, the brotherhood can't be around. I said, unless they want to be saved. I said, you'll come out from amongst that. He said, they'll kill me. I said, well, I said, one thing about it, if you get your heart right before they do, you'll go to heaven. I said, that's how much you want it. And I had to be honest with him. Didn't want to lie to him. You know, I couldn't lie. You know what? He started crying. He said, I don't care anymore. I'm going to get saved. He started bawling like a baby right there, cried and prayed through to the salvation. God saved that boy's soul. His name was Mickey. And he had long curly hair running down his back. And you know what? God made a difference in that boy's life. I'd see him on the rec yard and I'd see him in different places. He'd come up and he'd just treat me just like I was his best friend. And you're understanding, no, salvation is true to whosoever will let him come. And I thank the Lord that he let him come. And I thank the Lord for what he done in his life. Because I saw a change. And you know what? He can make a change for me and you. He can make a change if we're willing to be used. Oh, what he can do for me and you. And I believe these young kids has got a good heart and they want to be used. I believe with all my heart they want what they need. I'm just afraid that they ain't going to get enough if they don't dig in and get all they can get right now. They need to get in there and get everything they need from God right now. Because I tell you what, God is wanting to use you. God is wanting to use you. We can't afford to lose you. We can't afford to lose another generation. We can't afford to lose another people that knows not God. We need you, and God needs you. And I thank the Lord that he's wanting to use you. And I believe with all my heart, y'all are the ones that's moving in these altars. And God is trying to move you for a reason. God is trying to move you for a reason. He's wanting you to mount up. He's wanting you to mount up. Are you willing to mount up? He said, you're more than conquerors through him that loveth you. He said, I am persuaded. You know what? He's persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God. It ain't nothing in your life, nothing you're facing can separate you from the love of God tonight. You believe that? I'm telling you with all my heart, there ain't nothing can stop you from going through if you want to go through tonight. With all my heart, I believe that. And I wish and pray that you would consider it tonight. If everybody stand. We're going to give you a chance to pray, not because of the preaching, but because of the commitment that you need to make to God tonight. I truly believe that he's talking to you tonight, and he's telling you that you ain't got enough, but you can get it if you want it. You understand and know you don't have to walk away sad or grieved just like a young boy did, but you can come to God right now and let him make a difference in your life. We got just a few minutes to pray, just a few minutes. But I'm telling you, I believe if you'll come, God rewards you openly. God would reward you openly. If you feel the need to pray tonight, do you feel the need to pray? Oh, mercy God. Oh, what a heart we got here. Oh, mercy God. Anyone else? I tell you what, folks, don't play God lightly. It's going to come to you. You better have enough to stick. You better have enough to stick. And I know mom and daddy will pray for you. They'll be there as far as they can go, but they can't go but so far. You've got to make that decision. The brother preached it. You've got to make that decision. Are you willing to do it tonight?